Okay, we are on Daf Pei Hey Amud Aleph at the two dots. Sorry, the last two dots, which are like 15 lines from the bottom. Bab Minei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yochanan, yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay, says the Gemara. Bab Minei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yochanan Amman Lakoin Gadol Grusha V'Chalut Lakoin Hedyot Yesh Lahen Mazonos O Ein Lahen Mazonos. So we're talking about, right, cases that are forbidden relationships, right? An amana marrying a kohen gadol, or a grusha chalutza marrying a kohen hedyot. And the question is, do they get mizonos? Do they get mizonos? Do they get mizonos? Do they get somehow financed by their husbands? And the question is confusing, and the Gemara itself is confused. What are we talking about? Hey, chidami, what are we talking about? Ile medi yasva to say, if they're currently married, but amud v'hotzei kai, they have to get they're in a situation where they need to get divorced. Meaning they get while we're married, you have to pay for me. There's no shayla. If you show up and you're married that way, what are they going to say to you? Get divorced. There's not going to be any conversation about should you get mizonos or not. So what are you talking about?
So it's not truma.
Mizonos is not truma. So mizonos means we're gonna have to see what it means. Okay. But it means something like, you know, taking care of her financial needs, making sure she has food to eat, etc.
It's a lesser status than truma.
Well, it's not about truma per se. It's more, but the truma shell is always like, does this marriage allow the person to eat truma? Okay. Right. Well, now I'm married to a Cohen, so I can right. So that would be a different shell. But this shell is just, is he responsible for her financially?
Okay.
Right? Is he responsible for her physical needs in that way? But the point is, there's nothing to talk about. You're not supposed to be married. So it's like coming to ask a shayla when, you know, like, so me and my wife. It's like, well, you're not supposed to be me. It's not supposed to be your wife. It's like I can't even have a conversation with you, right? So the Gemara says, no, lo tzricha shahala chul medina sayam. Case is that he went on a trip. He left. He went on a business trip. V'lovsa v'achla, and she borrowed money from him, and she used it. Right, so she took money, went to the supermarket or whatever, while he was gone, and she took some of his money. So the question is going to become basically, does he have to pay her back for the money that she spent? Right, meaning you're not going to say to me now, well, you shouldn't be married. Okay, fine. They're going to have to. They'll have to get divorced when he comes back. But Lamaisa, she used money that was his money. Does he pay her back for it? Meaning, was it really money that he was required to give her in the end of the day? So the Gemara continues to explain it. So Mizone Tanaik Subaninhu. Right, so there's two sides. Do we say that the Mizonis are one of the conditions of the Ksuba? Midi isla ksuba isla mizoni. So if someone has a ksuba, then someone has mizonos, right? So meaning if when they would get divorced, he would need to give her a ksuba, even if this was a forbidden marriage. But nevertheless, let's assume that there was a scenario which you mentioned before, right? About if someone gets a ksuba, gets mizonos, but in the assumption being if there's no ksuba, that he wouldn't have to pay her. Because mizonos financing her physical needs, her food or her clothing, etc. So maybe that's what we're talking about. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says right across the way on the right side, Mizone Tanaik Suba Ninhu, a few lines above from where we are in the Gemara. Shakach Kasav La Biksuba. This is what it says in the Ksuba. What's funny is you're going to note the words that are here are not words you find in our Ksuba. But this is what it says in the Ksuba. It says Rashi, Atehet Yasva Bebese, Umitzina Minichzai, Koyame Migra Maluzech. Because it says in the Ksuba that you should live in my house, and I will, you know, take care of your physical needs, right? As long as you're living in my house. So we don't have that exact language, right? Those words. We do have language in our Ksubas that say similar thing, but the point is that's part of what Ksuba is all about. So if it's a woman who deserves a Ksuba, so fine, then she get mizonos. If not, then not. So that's one way to look at it. Back to the Gemara. Duma ksuba de la mishkal umefuk. Maybe a ksuba is about when you leave the marriage, right? Ksuba is all about exiting from the marriage. So it's but isla mizone duma ti akev gabe. Sorry, the ksuba the limish called mefak isla mizone demate akav gabe leisla. That ksuba, that's when you're leaving, so you're already on the way out. So fine. So we say payer, even though you weren't supposed to be married. So we'll say you should still give her something on the way out, right? But mizonos, that's about staying together, meaning like paying for her physical needs. That's something you do for someone that you want to stay with, or that and so therefore, for a woman, for a relationship that is supposed to be ended, right, and not supposed to be continuing, maybe that's why. I mean, maybe they're not really dependent on each other. Maybe there could be a woman who deserves a ksuba taka, and she'll be allowed, you'll give her a ksuba on the way out. But mizonos we won't give, because that somehow would make her continue to stay connected to you. So what do we, so we don't know. So the question is it basically the same as the ksuba, or different from the ksuba? Meaning, is the status the same? Does it go hand in hand? Someone who gets a ksuba gets mizonos, or no? Maybe they're two different things. So Amalei, the Gemara says leisla, she doesn't get the ksuba, she doesn't get mizonos. Okay, so Gemara says Tanya yeshla, but we have a brisa that says she does get it. No, kitanya he lacha misa. No, that brisa that says she gets mizonos, that's only once he has already died. Look at Rashi, lacha misa. Imeis velogirsha, right? If he dies and he never divorced her, yeshla mezonos kol yemei amanusa. She gets mezonos as long as she is an amana, so she's not married to somebody else. Kishar amana de mezone tanai ksuba, right? Meaning, if we assume that the mezonos are part of are like a tanai the ksuba, so then she gets financed as long as when he passes away, as long as she's not married to somebody else, like it's the case by any woman who's married to her husband. When he passes away, she's entitled to have her financial needs taken care of by the estate. But if it's a case when it's our whole concern was if we're giving mizonos, maybe she'll stick around, right? They'll stay married. Well, he died already, so we're not worried about them staying married. So we say really she doesn't get mizonos. The Bryce that says that she does get mizonos. No, she does get mizonos if he had already died. But if he's still alive, so then she's not going to get mizonos. Okay. It's back in the Gemara. Is to Amar. It's another way of reading the case. Amar lei, Tanya Yeshla. The Bryce says she does get mizonos. So the Gemara says, Haba Amba Hotekai. What do you mean? What do you mean she gets mizonos? She's supposed to get divorced. No. Ve'ela ha Tanya Yeshla. What about the Bryce that says, but the brush says that she does get mizonos. No, kitanya hila kamisa. Fine. It's the same conclusion. Just two different ways of getting there.
It's almost that we assume that this, well, if I'm understanding this correctly, it's almost like you're de-incentivizing the whole Yavama process to happen because she's getting this mizonos after
he dies?
Yeah.
You're de-incentivizing them to stay married.
But the Kohen dies already, right?
Yeah.
And according to this, she's already getting mizonos afterwards.
She is getting mizonos afterwards. Supported.
So what's for her to push to figure out who she has to marry?
But this is a Yibam case. This is just a marriage against halacha case.
Right. But if...
You're saying if she gets paid in the end, if she gets money in the end... You're saying we should... We're still incentivizing them to get married still.
Right.
Because in the end of the day, she knows she's going to get supported.
Right.
Right. That's a fair point. But the point here is... Once they were already married, we don't want her to feel supported while they're still married. We want to get this over with.
Right.
But if he happens to die, so then we'll at least allow her to get taken care of.
Right.
But while they're married, we're gonna every time she comes to ask the child about their marriage, we'll be like, but you shouldn't be married. So yeah, but you are correct. The fact that there is that element that she's still. Knows that she gets that if he dies. That is true. Okay. Next. Tan Rabbanan. Aman l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hedyot, yesh l'ksuba, peros, mizonos, blaos, v'hipsula, uvlada pasol. V'kofeno tso l'hotzi, l'hotzi. Okay, so now we're actually going to talk right now about sort of the point you made before, Michael, that this same point about the difference between certain type of forbidden relationships and how we relate to them. So aman l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hedyot. Right, these are both isurei d'oraisa, right? And in that case, she gets a ksuba, she gets peros, she gets mizonos, she gets blos, and she gets all these different things. v'hi psula, but she ends up a psula if she marries him, right? When she once she's been had tashish with him, so now she's forbidden to marry any other kohen, right? Uvlad apostle, and her child becomes a halal or a halala. V'kofen tzolotzi, and we force them to get divorced. Okay, shnios midivrei sofrim, but these derabanan marriages, right? These marriages that are forbidden midirabanan, ein laksuba. Lo peros, lo mazonos, lo blos, v'hikshera, uvlada kosher. Right, so she doesn't get aksuba, she doesn't get mazonos, all these things she doesn't get, even though in the end of the day, she remains a kshera, and her children are not chalalim, because the isser is only isser derabanan. But nevertheless, kofenos alahotzi. But we forbid them to get divorced. But we also still, in that case, also push them, force them to get divorced. So Amr Shem Ben Lazar, Mipnei Ma, Amr Ma'man L'Kohen Gadol, Yesh Taksuba, Mipnei Shehu Pasol V'Hi Psula. V'Kol Makam Shehu Pasol V'Hi Psula, Kansu Oso Ksuba. Right, so the question that we're going to be dealing with for the rest of this, really the rest of the Amud, is going to be why there's this distinction between the two cases. The case that's Yisrael Deraisa and the case that Yisrael Derabana. Why in Yisrael Deraisa she gets a Ksuba, and the Yisrael Derabanan, she doesn't get a ksuba. I mean, it seems to be more strict by the cases that are less chamer. So, Shem Elazar says, why is it that Amalek Kohen Gadol gets a ksuba? Because he's pasul and she's psula, right? And whenever he's pasul and she's psula, so the Chazal pasul them, were konis to him with a ksuba. Rashi says, Salam Peyam and Aleph, V'hachi Perusha Mipnei Shehu pasul. Right, he's puzzled. He has some type of psula as long as he remains married to her, right? Until he takes a neder hana, he takes a neder not to get hana from her anymore, and she's psula because of him. She becomes forbidden to marry a kohen anymore. Okay, so in those scenarios, we rekones him with the ksuba. Look at Rashi. It says, kansu oso ksuba, klomar, lo kansu ha, mishar kol nashim. Right? We don't passel her. He still has to pay. Meaning, at the end of the day, he was wrong and she was wrong. So why don't we get rid of her ksuba? Because he still gets a knas. He still has to pay. He married her against the halacha, so he still has to give her ksuba. Then that's the knas. Even though, technically, he shouldn't be required to give her ksuba because he shouldn't be married. Okay, but keep going. The Gemara, Amru Shniyos Mini Vesohim Ein Lahang Suba. So why would by Shniyos does she not get a Suba? Because he's really fine and she's fine also. Basically, there's nothing. She doesn't lose much in this. I mean, she did something wrong according to halacha, but she doesn't lose anything, practically from this relationship. So the only way to punish her in a certain sense is to take away the ksuba. So that's what we do. So meaning it's basically the point being, it's when it's less severe, you care less about what you're doing to yourself by this relationship, we actually have to be more severe in terms of the punishment. Okay.
In the first situation, she's becoming a psula as a result, so that's her penalty.
Exactly.
Second case, she's not, so that's why she loses a ksuba.
Exactly, right, exactly. And that's why, right, because you say,
so they're both getting penalized in one form or another.
Correct, and we're really focusing more on her penalty, which is correct. And in the first case, her penalty now is she can't marry Cohen, right. So that's bad enough for her. So he needs a penalty. He gets the ksuba, that they're paying the ksuba. And here, neither of them are getting penalized. So the only way to penalize her is by making him having her lose the ksuba. Which again, it's not just a penalty. It's decentivize her, right, to in the first place. Okay, Rabbi Amar. So Rabbi is a different reason. Rabbi Omer, halalu divrei Torah v'divrei Torah ein tzrichin chizuk, halalu divrei sofrim v'divrei sofrim tzrichin chizuk. So Rabbi says, no, so I'll tell you a different reason. Because divrei Torah, people don't want to validate Yisrael Deraisa. We know the difference, right? We know the difference between Deraisa, Derabanan, Minhag. We always talk about this, right? So when Deraisa is, people are more worried. So we don't need chizuk. We just treat it regular, and she gets her ksuba still. But with divrei sofrim, people treat it as derabanan anyways. What's the big deal? So there, we give a much bigger, penalty to give chizuk to the derabanan. Okay.
The potential of kares doesn't scare people, it sounds like.
No, but that, no, it yeah. does, correct. Right. That no. Deraisas do, right, exactly.
Right.
But I'm saying, by the way, it's even people who are violating, right? Jewish people are smart. And no, but it's true. And they know the difference. They know the difference. You know, people know derisus, derabanans. People know. So, we should care about both. But Chazal recognized that people are smart. And so giving a knas when it comes to a financial penalty there, when it comes to divrei sofrim, is smart. It's going to get people to think twice. Devar acher, zehu margila, vizuhi margila so'a. So the other pshat is zehu margila. In some cases, you have to know who's pushing the relationship, right? Sometimes it's her, and sometimes it's him. So we're going to have to see what this means more as we move along. But look at Rashi. Rashi says, Zeu Margila. It's going to come up more. Rashi says in the first skinny line, Zeu Margila, Aman lekoin gadol, grusha vechalutza lekoin hedyot, hu Margila, umesi solen yasalo. In that case, he's the one, pursuing her, right? Why? Because nothing happens to him. Right? If he marries, it's bad. But if he marries her, there's no long-lasting impact on him that he was a kohen gadol who married an almana, or that he was a kohen who married a grusha. So it's not such a big deal for him. Vizu shnia, right? But when it comes to the sisi derabanan, the kevan de lo yi mifsala, the lav zar mifsal, meaning as opposed to her in that case, she knows her children become a chalolim, right? If she becomes tzul lekohen, if she marries him. So who's going to push for this marriage? He is, right? So who gets punished? He does. He has to pay the ksuba, right? But vizu shnia. But in the case of the shnia slarayos, they gave him the lo ihi mifsal. She's there's nothing gonna happen to her. V'lav zar mifsal, and her children won't become tzulin. V'lo mifsal, lo mifsal the median. She doesn't lose anything. B'viyaso, he magila so. So in that case, it's equal, right? He doesn't lose out, and she doesn't lose out, right? In the shnios, he'll be fine in the end, and she'll be fine in the end. So why is it on her? Why do you assume that she's the one who's pushing it? Why? Sha'isha wrote Salina, you not say those are Ish. It's a Gemara in the Kiddushin that says, Tavla Meit of Tandu, Mila Meit of Armalu, that women in general would rather be married than not be married at all. That's a typical thing of the Gemara assumes always, of that women would rather have a relationship, even if it's not perfect, than have no relationship at all. As opposed to a man who maybe be more picky. So the point being, that in the shnios, where neither of them are losing out, the children are fine, she's fine, he's fine in the end. So we have to be kones her, right? That she loses her ksuba because we assume otherwise that she's the one pushing for the relationship. Okay, fine. So now Gemara asks, Davar acher man ketanila. Who's the one? We basically had two explanations, right? One explanation is was Rishim ben Elazar, who says, again, what's the difference between the Shnios case and the case of the Dereises? And Rishim Elazar said, the difference is when they're both, psulim, right? So then he gets the knas, and when they're both fine, she gets the knas, right? The Rebbe said, it's Dereisa versus Derabanan, and Derabanan's need more chizuk. And then Davar Acher, well, depends, the Davar Acher is, it depends on who's pushing the relationship. So who's the one who says the davar acher? Who's this for? Right? Is it according to which opinion are we saying this davar acher? So it says the Gemara like this. I could say Shem Elazar is pushing this davar acher, this idea of who's margila, who's not. Why? Ketani la umam taam kamar. And he's giving meaning ma taam kamar. It's the way that you teach a Mishnah. You say ma taam. What's the reason? Meaning. Matam amru hu pasal v'hi psula kansu oso. And what's the reason why we said that when he's pasal and she's psula, we give a penalty to him, right? Kansu oso ksuba nivrei shehu margila, because in that case he's the one who's pushing the marriage, right? Because she's the one who would be more nervous about it. She's the one who's going to get hurt more. Her status is affected more. Umatam hu kasher v'hi ksheira kansu oso. And why is it that when he's fine, and she's fine, we give her a penalty. She loses a ksuba. Because again, we assume in that case, she's the one pushing the marriage. So that's one way to read it, is that this is just a matam. It's an explanation for the opinion of Shem Elazar. Ikedam, right? Ikedam, right? Another explanation. Rebbe Ketanila. It's Rebbe who says it. V'chalutza kakashle. And he's bothered by the case of chalutza. Why is he bothered by the case of chalutza? Because v'chalutza derabanan v'isal ksuba. Right, because at the end of the day, chalutza marrying a kohen, that's not nisa daraisa. We say that's a nisa darabana. Right, we say grusha v'chalutza la kohen. But the truth is, it's chalutza is only nisa darabana. Nevertheless, when a chalutza marries a kohen, she gets a ksuba. Right? So what's going on? You said derais derabanan, the distinction here. If that's true, chalutza, which is derabanan, she should be penalized and not get the ksuba. So hada amar, so he explains, kevin de pasila pasila and the bach adds mitruma, right, midrabanan, zehu margila. Since she, he's explaining, you're right, it's really derais derabanan. But what about the that's the distinction here. But what about chalutza, which is derabanan, and nevertheless she gets a ksuba? Well, that's because she still loses out from truma, and since she loses out from truma, so zehu margila vezehu vezu mahi margila. So then still it's also true, even deraisa derabanan, that by deraisas, he's the one who let's get it correct. Then when it comes to deraisas, we assume that my brain's not working. By the rabbanon she loses the ksuba. By the raises, she doesn't lose the ksuba. By this derabanan she keeps the ksuba. The answer is by this derabanan, by chalutza she keeps the ksuba, right? So the answer is yeah, because that in that case she's the one who is. Now what? She's rabbi.
He's rabbi. He's the one who pursues the marriage.
By chalutza, he's the one who pursues the marriage.
So he still has to pay
the ksuba. Okay, fine. And that's for him answering up the issue of chalutza, even though it's derabanan. Okay, fine. So those are the two possible ways of reading the ikedamri. Right? As you can tell, which one seems smoother is the first one. But fine. Fine. So now the Gemara wants to know as follows. A couple more minutes here. My ika bein Rebbe Rebbe Shimon ben Lazar. What is it? But who cares? Lemaisa, they're both giving different explanations, right? Different svaras for the distinction. But what's the nafkamina? Right? Why do we care? And he wasn't give actually five nafkaminas between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon ben Lazar. So the number one is Amar Reb Chista Mamzeres Unesina Yisrael ika benayu. Okay, Mamzeres Unesina marrying Yisrael. Why manda amidereisa hanamidereisa? If you care about deraisas derabanans, so that's an issa deraisa, right? And so she loses her. In that case, it's a deraisa, so she doesn't lose the ksuba, right? Mandamar peshu magila, because she's the one. But mandamar, that's an issue of her, pushing the marriage. Ha hi magila lei, right? She's the one. She'll be the one to push it because she's already mamzeres, right? What's the point? The point being that if it's an issue of a din deraisa, so she's, if it's a din deraisa, it is a din deraisa, in which case she should keep the ksuba. On the other hand, because she's a mamzeres, she's the one who is going to pursue the marriage because she has nothing to lose, in which case she should lose the ksuba. Right? So that's the nafkamina, because if depending on which side you hold, it'll actually flip the din. Right? So it's the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer, da amar hareza eved, mamzer, Halo maglale v'lamidi. But according to Rabbi Elazar, who holds that hareza eved umamzer, she's not going to push it. Why? Rashi says. Well, we're going to finish with this. Rashi says, Rabbi Elazar, the polig ale the Rabbi Tarfon v'amr mamzer shenasa shifcha. He's a mamzer marriage a shifcha v'holid ben eino nitar mina mamzeres. Meaning we said there's different ways for a person to become. To solve mamzeres, right? One way is the mamzer can marry a shifcha, and then the child becomes an eved, and you can free the eved, right? But Rabbi Tarfon says it doesn't work. Right? And in mamzeros, bishul abdu sova hava eved mamzer, he becomes an eved and a mamzer. Ha kevin delegat takanta lazara lo mahajul mifsel zarei. The gav lefishi he machnitaso tamid, meaning she, according to this approach, she's not going to want to marry him because her children would be mamzerim. So according to that approach, maybe she wouldn't be so fast to want to get married, in which case you wouldn't say that she's the one pushing the marriage. So according to that approach, you know, according to that shita, this won't be an afkamina, because you'll say whether it's the issue of daraisa or the issue of who's being margil, she's really not going to be margil. And in both cases, she would get the ksuba, so that's not going to be a good afkamina. So we'll have to come back. We'll pick this up to get to the other nafkaminas.